Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
All right, I'm ready.
Good morning, everyone. This is Thomas Watson here at the historic Clay County Courthouse, coming to you once again live and in living color here on your radio dial, which, if you're listening, has to probably be set on at least 101.5 Kicks Country here at WVFB-FM. And it's a pleasure to come to you each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. And a reminder that we'll be rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock. And we have our streaming of this on the Clay County Horizon newspaper site, so numerous ways to listen. And it's great to be here with you. We got the sun shining this morning after a day of drizzle all day yesterday, and it's supposed to be maybe up. Is it supposed to make it to 80 today, or is it 80? Going to make it up to 80 today. Mm-hmm. So get the suntan lotion out and get out, and I guess everybody built them a sand beach out in their yard, hasn't it, where they can go out and sunbathe on the sand, so you can do that today. But things are looking up with great weather, and we'll talk about some things a little bit later on, about maybe the economy opening up a little bit. Susan is here with me this morning, and Susan, good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be back. It's been a long time since I've been on this side of the microphone here.
And of course, Kevin just came in, and we'll be doing a little bit of our weekly rundown. And we had intended to have Mike Bowles with us, but
correct,
he couldn't be with us. But Susan's here. She's going to talk to us about the Cumberland River Hospital, and that is still the correct name.
That is correct.
And we'll be talking a little bit about that and an event they've got coming up. And maybe we're going to sit down and talk a little bit about the history of the hospital and some things like that. And then, like I said, Kevin is here with us, and he may chime in on some stuff the whole time. But he and I have got our little ritual set up now, where the last part of the show we've been doing a little coronavirus updates and things, and plus some other stuff we've got to talk about. But with that, we'll take a little short break. We'll come back, and I might start off today with a couple of things in history, since I used to instruct that a long time ago. But we'll be back just in a minute, and we'll get ready to start today's show. And we've only got one birthday today, though. So, well, I take that back. We've got two. We've got a late one coming in. But we might talk about birthdays maybe 9 months from now. But right now, we'll take a short break, and we'll be back just in a minute.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
The opioid epidemic is affecting countless lives, including young adults. Did you know approximately 45% of opioid prescriptions to adolescents are made by dentists, often after wisdom teeth removal? These drugs carry risks, but you can help reduce your risk or the risk for a loved one. If prescribed an opioid, ask your dentist to consider limiting prescriptions to 3 days, using over-the-counter pain relievers, and properly disposing of unused medications. For more information, go to shatterproof.org. This has been a message from Shatterproof, United Healthcare, and this station.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, it's a pleasure to be here this morning. And, of course, to begin with, we'd like to thank the folks that make this show possible. And that this show is through the auspices of the three-star program and the Clay County Chamber. Like I said, Susan Bailey's here with me this morning. And before we go to that, though, I've got a couple of things on today in history. I can't give up being a history teacher, I don't reckon. But some of these things kind of catch you, as they may be relevant to what's going on in and around us today. But this is the day that the first Constitutional Convention convened in Philadelphia to draw up the Constitution. And if you ever go to Philadelphia, of course, you can still walk in that building and see the exact place where this took place, which makes for a good trip. And then this is kind of relevant today. In 1796, English country doctor Edward Jenner did something. Susan, you remember what he did?
I do not.
Oh, the first inoculation against smallpox.
Oh, wow.
Using cowpox pus in Berkeley, Gloucester, England.
Wow.
I mean, that's, I guess that may have been the first, what do we call that?
That was innovative.
Yeah.
That's been
a few years ago, hadn't it?
It has.
And of course, smallpox then was kind of what
it's
we're dealing
prevalent.
With now.
Absolutely.
And it was deadly.
Yeah.
And of course, it was spread through. It was spread through physical contact.
We're
right.
Affected by that.
And of course, like I said, it's probably quite similar to what we have today.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking mm-hmm. back at, you know, a couple hundred years ago. And on this day in 1804, Meriwether Lewis and William Clark took off from St. Louis, sorry, I guess right about the arch, and headed toward the Pacific coast.
Uh-huh.
And so they had to explore the new land that we had just purchased. Then 1878, Vaseline was granted a patent. One of the most useful things that's ever been invented,
yeah,
I think.
And unchanged.
And I know...
Original formula.
And I know Susan, being in the medical field, realized in the past few years how the use of Vaseline has changed in that it is now used as a preventative in skin surgeries, mm-hmm. abrasions, and things like that. You know, used to where we were told to wash it off with soap and water.
Exactly.
And that type of thing. Now... And put a covering on it. Now the covering is Vaseline.
It's the Vaseline.
So I mean, and of course, it's great to grease refrigerator doors with. Anything that squeaks.
It's modern day, I think, is WD-40. Vaseline was that then.
Anything that squeaks, it'll cure. And had a parade on this day in New York City. Beer.
Is that the first Macy's?
I don't know, but you know that you know. And we think that's nothing new, but, you know, we had, you know, back in the Depression, we had the food riots and things
yeah.
like that. You know, that's something that the American people have always done. If you weren't happy about something, you could usually find a crowd that'd gather
around. Get out
around.
There and protest it.
They'd get out there and gather around, and y'all could protest
mm-hmm.
it. And this one is a very, very, I think, this may be the first time that I run across this. Physician Joseph G. Hamilton injects misdiagnosed cancer patient Albert Stevens, and it's in house. It's got CAL1 with 131 some type of grams of plutonium without his knowledge. And Stephen lived another 20 years, surviving the highest known accumulated radiation dose in any human.
Wow.
So, you know, that's, of course, that's something we're still battling
sure
today.
Sure are.
But, I thought that was the kind of a nice little note there in history. Well, Susan, how are you this morning?
Well, I'm very well. Like you said, it's a beautiful day outside.
A beautiful day in the neighborhood.
It is a beautiful day. And people need to get out and enjoy it a little bit. But, of course, we need to remember social distancing and be careful. But it sounds like a good day for a nice walk in the park and just getting out in the yard and doing some things. You might work up a sweat today.
You know, I noticed this morning on Today Show they had their doctor on there that he was talking about how all the precautions he had taken, and he had come down with the virus. And the only thing that he thought he could have done was transfer it through his eyes from his hands.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe the first time I've heard anyone say that they thought that was actually the way that it was transferred.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's hand washing and not touching your face is probably the most important thing to do, or rather to not do. You've got to be meticulous about that. And I think sometimes wearing these masks kind of puts that in your mind. You know, you reach up to your face and you think the mask just kind of is a little bit of a deterrent to go ahead and touch your face.
And I know there's been some things about the mask, about the 95 mask, that summertime may be kind of rough wearing those.
Oh, it's terribly rough, even in a cool environment. And those masks are just so tight and well-fitting that they're very, very uncomfortable and can cause bruising and abrasions to the face, especially for healthcare providers when they have to wear them for hours at a time.
And I think that looks like the mask that they're thinking people should be using in the summertime are those, what is it, those 1,400 thread Egyptian cotton sheets, cut them up and use them as cotton.
Or just those plain surgical masks. And, you know, they're just for, really, people that wear the masks should be those who are considered infected or have the potential to have COVID-19. But you're protecting other people from you.
Right, and, of course, from a personal side, if you're going into a group where you don't know who is there, you might ought to get your mask out and put it on. Well, Susan, I know you're here about something else this morning, and that is some of the things going on, the great news that we had a little while back about Cumberland River Hospital reopening. And you want to catch us up? We want to talk about the hospital a little bit before we get
there.
Well,
yeah, let's talk about the old days in the hospital. You know, I'm 30. I've been in nursing now for 38 years, and I started my career at Cumberland River Hospital 38 years ago.
Who owned the hospital in those days?
I think maybe the city. No, I think maybe Cardona and that group of physicians
that came in from
I
guess in Cumberland County, maybe. I guess
most
of them came from a group
I think Dr. Cardona, Tianson.
I believe so.
Bill Weaver in the laboratory department. And Dr. Balanis, of course, with Dr. Tianson. And I want to think Dr. Ruanto may have come later.
I believe.
I think he came later as a surgeon. And then Dr. Olishay.
And that was the core of the group that came in.
Yeah.
And I think they did purchase it from the city of...
From the city. And maybe
the,
Perry
was city
Royce...
Or the county. Was
the
or the
county,
county,
probably. And was Perry Royce the administrator at that time?
I believe he was.
I think
I
so.
He was.
He was in the early days.
And it...
Mr. Black,
yes,
Lord Black,
yes,
was the first administrator, and then Perry Royce came after him, I believe.
That would be Andy's father.
That's absolutely right. Andy and Greg.
And Melanie.
And Lloyd Jr.
and thank goodness the Weavers moved here, because I think Walt may have been a pretty decent basketball player for me back in the day.
He sure was.
So.
And Robbie on the girls' team.
Yes.
There were some good players there.
Yes. Amy.
Uh-huh.
Amy, so I think maybe she helped us win that one of the first district basketball game against Cumberland County back years and years ago.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what size the hospital was when we first started. I know that we've had some renovations and some remodels, and now we're up to 30. Excuse me, we have 33 beds, and we're actually reopening the surgery department, which has been closed for several years now. But we have two surgeons on board, Dr. Satterfield and Dr. Klepper, will be coming to perform surgery. So we're really excited to have them. We're, of course, still in the process of getting it ready.
Are there any overnight?
We have had three overnight admissions already. So we are able to admit patients onto the floors. We're more than ready to do that. And the emergency room, excuse me, we've been seeing patients on a regular basis in the emergency room now for 3 weeks, I believe, since the day of the opening. I think we had our first patient that weekend of the reopening.
Okay. And Susan, along that same line, are you privy to any of the steps and things and the hoops and all those things that Mr. Presley had to go through to get to accomplish this?
Well, I'm not exactly, but I know that he has. You said all the hoops that he's had to jump through, and there have been many, and it has been an uphill battle. He's had the help of many, many people to get where we are today, and he's still very aggressively working toward getting everything in place. And part of that is, you've got to, when you start from scratch, which we're starting from scratch, you've got to develop policies, procedures for everything in the hospital that goes on. But he has to also make sure that we've got insurance in place, that we've got certifications for managing and running the hospital. He's been almost daily, day in and day out, most of the day working on those kind of things, certifications and contacting the government and managing that part that gets everything in place.
A lot of us, and some of us, and I'd say probably the majority of the folks here in the county thought that this hospital would reopen, they would just come, whoever did that would just come in and take up
Right where the other group had left. Yeah.
And it didn't work that way.
It didn't work that way.
Because, I know they had, removed some of the equipment, that type thing, mm-hmm. And it was, and as you said, you had to start from scratch. You couldn't use, I guess with the Social Security folks, the Medicare folks, you couldn't use the same code. You weren't the same coding person.
Right.
And you had to go back and get a number again and get approved. And looking, I'm wondering, there's no telling how many different, small sub agencies,
absolutely.
There's not just one person.
You've got KinCare, Blue Care, just so many other insurance companies that you have to make sure that you're approved to be able to use those.
And also with the insurance companies, you've got to make sure that the insurance company, that the insurers that insure people in this county, will accept the Cumberland River Hospital.
We have to be an approved provider.
Right, and pay.
And our physicians have to be approved providers, too.
Okay, let's take a little short break, and we're going to talk about the physicians up there, maybe,
right.
and a few more things. But we'll be back just in a minute.
Identity theft is the fastest-growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Come grow with us.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
The epidemic is affecting countless lives, including young adults. Did you know approximately 45% of opioid prescriptions to adolescents are made by dentists, often after wisdom teeth removal? These drugs carry risks, but you can help reduce your risk or the risk for a loved one. If prescribed an opioid, ask your dentist to consider limiting prescriptions to 3 days, using over-the-counter pain relievers, and properly disposing of unused medications. For more information, go to shatterproof.org. This has been a message from Shatterproof, United Healthcare, and this station.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
One. Like I said, we've got our birthdays and anniversaries coming up here halfway through the show. We've got Susan here now. Kevin has been walking in and out here. He's going to be ready to sit down here in a few minutes. Susan, let's talk a little bit about the staffing up there right now and exactly what's going on. Right?
Well, everybody's working to put things in order. We have nurses that are on staff, and we need more. If you're a nurse, if you're an LPN or an RN, if you're a CNA, you're out there and you're interested in a job, we are taking applications now and interviewing as soon as we can get you in. But we definitely are going to be filling all of those slots, and we certainly need LPNs and RNs right now. So anybody that's interested, we need to get that filled. We're going to have all of the services that the hospital provided before. And again, you know, we're taking not baby steps, but we're having to jump through those hoops to get everything in place. We're absolutely admitting patients to the floor, and we are seeing emergency room patients. So if you have an emergency, by all means, call the ambulance. Come directly up there, but we are there to provide service.
Okay, let's talk about staff now, though, that are on. Beginning, I guess, with our medical staff.
Okay, we have got Dr. Kenny Beatty has clinic hours where he's seeing patients. And all you have to do is call up to the clinic number. Oh, I wish I had written that down. I can't remember exactly what the number is, but call to the main line at the hospital, and you can be transferred to the clinic or get the clinic number and get an appointment with Dr. Kenny Beatty, with Dr. Horn, with Melissa Ross, with Michael Bowles. Mike planned to be here with me today, but something came up and he wasn't able to come in, but he really regrets that he wasn't able to be here today. We also have, of course, the three surgeons that I mentioned before. They are in the process of getting everything together, having the OR set up, you know, to their specifications so that we can begin surgeries as soon as possible. We're going to be able to do colonoscopies, procedures such as EGDs. We're going to be able to perform those procedures up here too. Same day surgeries, same day procedures.
Not right today.
And overnight, you know, not today, but very, very soon. We still have 33 beds in-house, and we've got some new high-tech wound care beds and geriatric beds to meet all of the needs that we would possibly have. We're going to continue to have Geri Psych, and again, we're in the process of setting people in place for all of those areas. We'll have skilled nursing, swing bed patients, and then, of course, med-surg patients. We're hoping to develop a fast-track program where if you have just a little sore throat, or if you have an earache, if you've got a child that's got a fever and you're not sure what's going on, we're hoping to be able to fast-track those patients and not have a lengthy ER stay for them. As you know, most of those things happen in the middle of the night, too, and with kids especially, or over the weekend. So we hope to try to expedite the care through the emergency department, and that's very important, I know, to families and especially moms and dads with children.
Okay, now, exactly what is the procedure there at the emergency room now with the social distancing and the virus?
Well, we have, as every hospital does, where you don't allow just anybody in the facility. We have signs posted on all of our doors, and we do have a buzzer that you push to get the attention of the emergency department, and then they will come out and do a screening process, which is primarily getting a temperature and asking if you have a sore throat, cough, or fever, have had a fever, if there's anyone in your household who is in quarantine or tested positive for COVID, or if you've been in a high-risk area. So we ask all of those things before you even come in, and then if you answer yes to some of those questions, then we have a special area that we place that person that is separate from others. And otherwise, you just come into the emergency room after you're screened, and you're in a regular ER, on a regular ER stretcher.
Okay, and if the emergency does come and someone that was using his chainsaw happened to make a little gash, the sight of blood will get you in the door pretty quick.
It will get you in the door pretty quick. We still have to do the screening,
right.
Where we're going to put them.
Right, no matter what,
but
you've got
yeah,
the screen.
You've got that. And we've got those 33 beds that are on the floor for med-surg patients. We also have, in our OR, we've got three stretchers that are designated for recovering patients. We have a recovery room set up, and we also have extra beds that are in an area downstairs that we can utilize if needed. And we're expanding so much. And that's one thing you mentioned, Johnny Presley, the owner, staying busy. He has been, I guess, all over the place getting equipment. And I have been, that's one of the things when I came back and looked, I was just, my mouth was hanging open looking at all of the equipment that he has purchased to put in the building and for utilization for patient care.
And x-ray technician?
And we got x-ray technicians up there, and we have lab going.
Got the your blood
we're ready
test
to go.
Results.
Our CT machine is up and running. You know, it's been there ready to go from day one. So we've got what we need, and we have radiology to read the x-rays. Of course, you know, our physicians will look at them too, and they can definitely see broken bones and all those kind of things.
Yeah.
But we do have radiology that we send our film, that we get our films to be read.
Well, I think you've got, I know one more thing you want to talk about that's coming up. When does that happen?
We are having an open house today. So anybody that's out there listening, if you want to come up and give us a look, you're more than welcome, starting at 12 o'clock. And I think we're going to run to 2. If people are still there, I guess we'll go over. But it's been a struggle trying to pull this together because of COVID and because of all the restrictions. But we're going to practice social distancing. And I will ask you to wear, bring your mask up, and you can wear that mask. But we'll keep that 6-foot rule going, and we're welcoming you to come up and take a look at the facility. I would love to also say that we could plan a bigger and better grand opening at a later date that we're more able to advertise. But we're just so anxious for people to see what we're doing. that we want to do this today.
And let folks know it's actually here.
Absolutely.
And it's actually happening now.
Absolutely. Cumberland River Hospital is open for business.
You know, and
we're open to treat you and take care of Clay County and others.
I think I told someone, maybe Kevin, I said, you know, the headline we were looking for in the local newspapers was Cumberland River Hospital has opened.
Has opened, absolutely.
Now, that's
the headline
we were looking for.
Yes.
Well, Susan, if you, anything else you want to wind up with?
I just want to say, you know, I'm proud to be up here. I'm proud. I never thought this day would happen. I'm proud to be here.
You know, this is, I'm trying to think that nicely.
And thank you, Johnny Presley. I have to say that.
You know, this is it's bucking the big torrent stream,
yes.
Isn't it?
And you know what? I think that we can safely say now, we thought we were going to say Cumberland River Hospital has been open for 50 years. We're within the timeline that we can just keep adding to that. Not open continuously, but we have had Cumberland River Hospital here in the county.
Yeah, Kevin, what was the opening date right off the top of your head?
I don't think I was born then, but I was here 50 years ago. I don't know the date, though.
I think 50 years was about 4 years ago.
Okay.
I don't know an exact date, but I remember helping the hospital a little bit with some publicity,
yeah,
and that's the date I would attach to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I guess we might not say this hospital really had been closed. It's maybe just been resting for a little while.
Yeah, one of our nurses, you know, Tippy, we lost Tippy last year, and last year would have been 50 years. She was in the first nursing class that was actually held at Cumberland River Hospital. So she started work just right then, and they had a nursing class then. So I think, I'm thinking 50 years was last year.
I may be wrong on that.
I believe so. It may have started longer than that as far as the building process.
Did the hospital ever open, was it open before Dr. Cardona and that group came in here, or was it built?
You know, I remember Dr. Crespo.
Yeah.
And I think he was maybe before them.
I'm not sure, but in digging some of that history up, I'm pretty certain that the building was vacant for a while.
Uh-huh.
It was built and vacant
for
a few months or a year, maybe.
Because thinking about that, you know, we opened our doors because we were allowed to do that. We were approved. But when we opened our doors, at that point, we didn't have full, you know, capacity of employees. So we've been rushing along, and it's absolutely understandable to me in this process now that they weren't able to get the building completed, and then they had to start a nursing school to actually train nurses to work in the hospital.
I didn't realize that.
That was about the time that I graduated from middle and came back, I guess, and started teaching right around 1970,
mm-hmm.
Along in there. And, of course, I can remember, you know, the headlines when the package store resolution was passed to pay for a hospital.
And recruited nurses from Canada. Miss Margaret Monroe, she came from Canada.
Miss Monroe
was one of our first RNs.
And I know, like I said, it was it was a big deal, and I think really and truly, it's probably maybe an even bigger deal now.
Mm-hmm. More hoops to jump through, honestly.
Right. And because
more,
you know,
regulations.
The situation of rural hospitals throughout the United States, and you know, we just, you know, our hopes, our prayers, everything is that, you know, this is going to be successful, and you know who can make this work. Whoever's listening to us today.
Absolutely. I wanted to stress that point, too. If we don't have the support of the community, we may not have a hospital. You know, that's just the bottom line. We have got to have people in our county and Jackson County and the other counties using our hospital. You need to come up and get appointments with our physicians at the clinic, and we need to support the hospital like any business. Any local business in town, you have got to go and purchase and use those facilities.
It's been brought back to us, and if we want it,
absolutely,
we better come use it.
Yeah, I can think of many situations where things didn't work out well while it was not here.
And Susan, something that's been pointed out, and hopefully we get the opportunity to make up for that now, even if you have a specialist in Nashville or Cookeville or – Crossville or wherever it might be, you don't have to go there to get your blood work done.
100%.
And that'd be a big boost.
All you have to do is say, can you hand me that order so I can have this blood drawn at Cumberland River Hospital,
right,
my local hospital?
Right.
All of those support services are extremely important.
Well, I guess we're going to take a little short break after I've got three names here. All right. For celebrating birthdays this past week, we have Ms. Brenda Moore celebrating the birthday, and then Kay Cass. Actually, Kay's over in Cumberland County, but she has
lots of relatives.
Yeah, she had lots of relatives here. And also Jackie Bowles today. Special shout out to Jackie. And with that, we'll be back just in a few minutes. And I think Kevin's come in. He's going to join us. And I'd say Susan has probably got to get to work.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. And I implore people, use your hospital.
And you just said the right word, your hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll be back just in a minute.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for 931-243-3139.
The opioid epidemic is affecting countless lives, including young adults. Did you know approximately 45% of opioid prescriptions to adolescents are made by dentists, often after wisdom teeth removal? These drugs carry risks, but you can help reduce your risk or the risk for a loved one. If prescribed an opioid, ask your dentist to consider limiting prescriptions to 3 days, using over-the-counter pain relievers, and properly disposing of unused medications. For more information, go to shatterproof.org. This has been a message from Shatterproof, United Healthcare, and this station.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back, everyone. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Tom.
You've been here with us a little while and listening. What do we want to talk about first this morning?
Well, I'm going to continue to beat this horse as bad as I hate to. Let's talk. First, we'll do a COVID update here in just a minute, but let's talk a little bit more about the census. We are drawing near to the time that they will begin to send workers out to knock on doors. So I want to implore everyone, and please spread the word, if you do not want a census worker knocking on your door, respond to the census by paper, by phone, or online. And latest numbers indicate we're not responding to the degree on our own that we really need to. We have a 45.2% response rate as of this morning. It's self-response. That is either responding to the form you got in the mail, which is easy, four pages, I believe, or thereabouts, or go online and do it the absolute easiest way. I believe you did yours that way too, Thomas. Nothing to it, is there?
Right. It's a whole lot less questions to answer. A lot of them you can mark one box and then take care of like three or four questions down below it.
Absolutely. And if you do not want to do either of those two things, you have yet another option that has never been available. That is to do it by phone. Someone will answer and guide you through that process, and I want to say that wouldn't take over 4, 5, 6 minutes either. To give you some perspective, our self-response rate is 45.2. In 2010, a decade ago, our final self-response rate was 58.8%. So we've got a lot of ground to make up, and we are now considerably high in both the state and national self-response rates. A number I saw the other day, and I haven't checked that again, is we have the 12th lowest self-response rate in the state. So we need to do that. And I suspect everybody that's listening to us right now has done that. So we'll issue that challenge again. Please speak out and ask your family members and friends and neighbors if they have responded and urge them to do that. It is vitally important for us. $675 billion are out there to be grabbed by various states, counties, and cities, and we want to make sure we get our fair share.
Absolutely, because it affects so much, especially in smaller counties like we are. We depend on federal funds quite a bit here in the county for lots of things that we do that touches us in the everyday phase of our lives. There are just so many services that they provide us.
Well, and if this might be an incentive, this is at least in theory, you know, the more federal and state money we get, depending on what we're able to use it for, and you can't always, in fact, very seldom can use it for just anything you want to. It's got a specific use, but at least theoretically, the more money we get from state and federal sources, the less likely our property taxes are to go up or other things. So that, I would think that ought to provide a little incentive for us to get as many responses as we possibly can. And as we've mentioned several times, Thomas, we want to break this trend of us losing people. We may not be able to do that. They're projecting we'll lose another 3%. But we need to make sure everybody that lives in Clay County is counted. So our slogan has been Make Clay Count, and we need to make sure that we do that.
Along Clay County the other day, Kevin, I think a gentleman from Kentucky threw a little bit of knowledge out to me that I had never considered before.
What's that?
That the name, you know, Clay County here, we were named our county after Henry Clay.
Right.
Most of us here knew, hey, that's why there's a Clay County in Kentucky. Well, it's not. Apparently there was a Revolutionary War general whose last name, he was General Clay from the Revolutionary War, and that's who they
had no idea.
I had seen, but you think about it, at the time that Clay County, Kentucky probably was formed was a little bit before Henry Clay had all that really notoriety and stuff.
I guess that's true. Well, it's kind of unusual. And by the way, I think there are 19 Clay Counties in the United States. So I didn't learn that till I started working for the Chamber. I knew it was a common thing.
I wonder how many of them were actually named after Henry Clay.
Well, that's good. I would have said every one of them were, but based on what you said, that may not be the case.
Yeah, we may have to do some more research.
And here we're Clay County, and we touch Jackson County, you know, just to the southwest of us, and named after Andrew Jackson. And Andrew Jackson and Henry Clay were bitter
Absolutely.
Political enemies. I mean, they could barely stand the sight of each other.
And nearly as bad as it was with the speaker, the term of the Senate then from out in Missouri that he had problems with all those years. So, but that is kind of neat. And, you know, I saw a little thing the other day about when they were talking about the name of Clay County, that one of the names that was proposed was Butler County. And that we know that came from the folks down at the Butler's Landing.
Absolutely. A very prominent.
I had never run across that before, don't think.
Very prominent family name back in the mid-1800s, I guess we'd say.
And, you know, we have, with this, our sesquicentennial, which is still on hold, you know, a lot of folks have been doing lots of family research, family tree, and that type thing. And we found out, we look around us, and I guess folks, when you start looking for ancestors in this area, you've got to look in Monroe County, Kentucky. You've got to look in Cumberland County, Kentucky, Overton County, Tennessee, and then down in Jackson County, Tennessee.
Right.
To find out, you know, where all of our ancestors came from, the folks that are now residents of Clay County.
Well, and Thomas, as you well know, and you probably taught it in school, you know, we came from basically equal parts of Jackson and Overton counties. And if you go back, and it's available online to look at a state map in, say, 1830, boy, it looks a lot different than it does now. A lot of counties carved out of there. Overton and Jackson County were basically long, skinny, vertical counties, and we got carved kind of out of that in a very interesting way. And, you know, there's a little thing in Clay County, a little piece of property. Of course, it looks a little on a map, significant, several acres, no doubt, dozens of acres, of a little jut out that goes down into Overton County, somewhere kind of, you know, kind of around the lake area. And I've always wondered, never been able to figure out. It makes no sense for it to have been there and drawn out the way it is.
Especially since there was no lake there then.
Absolutely. You know, the lake didn't exist. So
there's a Clay County boat dock there now, but that wasn't here when the county was formed, for sure.
The first conclusion you want to reach is somebody had a lot of pull.
Yeah. Somebody wanted to change county.
Absolutely. Or stay in a county or whatever. Yeah.
But, you know, you know, when we think about our county here, you know, we think of Maple Grove, how remote they are and that type thing. You know, until we start and think, you know, they were just a stone's throw away from everybody on Pea Ridge back before.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they were neighbors then. And now, you know, now we're remote from them.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, a big difference here in the county. Kevin, let's take a little short break, and we'll come back and wind up talking about our COVID numbers and some of our thoughts about the partial reopening of the state of Tennessee. We'll be back just in a minute.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
The opioid epidemic is affecting countless lives, including young adults. Did you know approximately 45% of opioid prescriptions to adolescents are made by dentists, often after wisdom teeth removal? These drugs carry risks, but you can help reduce your risk or the risk for a loved one. If prescribed an opioid, ask your dentist to consider limiting prescriptions to 3 days, using over-the-counter pain relievers, and properly disposing of unused medications. For more information, go to shatterproof.org. This has been a message from Shatterproof, United Healthcare, and this station.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back, everyone. Kevin, I think you've got one quick county announcement to announce.
We'll just remind everyone, Mayor Reagan talked about this last week. Monday, May the 18th, our county offices will reopen to, full public access would be the best way to say that, for business purposes. Social distancing, I think, will be required and part of going to do that. Something we need to mention in terms of the government complex and senior center is the senior center will not open at this time. My understanding is it may be quite some time before that happens. But the government complex, county offices, which includes the Chamber of Commerce, too, we will reopen to full public access, been open all along and been doing business by appointment in terms of in person. But the doors will reopen on Monday, as I understand it. Now, of course, that's, you know, we're in a totally fluid situation here, but I there wouldn't seem to be anything that would delay that at this point.
Okay, what have we got? A little update with our COVID news.
Our numbers there, Thomas, not terribly different than last week. Matter of fact, I think everything is the same except the number of folks tested, which continues to go up. I drove by the health department on the way here, and there were folks out there ready to swab your nasal passages if you want to do that. But I'm pretty sure these numbers are the exact same as they were last week. We were at 5 total cases for a long time. We went up to 6 last week. We're still at 6. With 5 of those folks recovered, 305 negative labs have come back. So you add the 6 to that, and there, I guess, been 311 people in Clay County tested. And that may not seem like much, but I did a little digging earlier this morning as well. Our rate of people tested is actually pretty good. It's similar to even some of the bigger counties, and we're ahead of some. We're right around the average for our area here, right around the percentage of people tested with Putnam County, and I think we're either higher or lower than Jackson and higher or lower with Overton. I forgot exactly which way it was, but our rate of testing, you think, well, 311 people, but for, let's say, an estimated population of 7,700 people, our rate's about where everybody else is, higher than some, as a matter of fact. So, and glad to say, most of all, no deaths as a result of COVID-19 to this point.
Okay, and also, I think they're giving away free masks over there at the
Absolutely. It's my understanding now the state procured 5 million masks, I believe it was, and you can go by any health department in the state of Tennessee and pick up a mask now. What I don't know and I have wondered is, can you pick up one for somebody else? And I don't know
that. I think you can, because I think someone picked up some for me.
I did not know the answer to that. I had wondered myself. But, you know, if you feel the need to have a mask, I'm certain these are top of the line, high-quality masks, no doubt about that. So if you feel the need to get one, all you got to do, my understanding is, drive by the health department. You don't have to get out and go in. There are folks out in the porch area waiting for you under the overhang there, the drive-through, and they'll take care of you, either for testing or for masks.
Okay. What about statewide, Kevin? How are numbers looking there?
Well, of course, those numbers continue to rise. Let me see if I can clue into those numbers here. 16,370 confirmed cases. Total deaths, unfortunately, and our condolences go out to everyone affected by that, 273, and recovered cases, 8,624. So that recovered ratio seems to be holding about the same. That's actually a little bit, well, that's right at 50%, and that's where that number's been, pretty much. We now are down to only one county statewide that has not recorded a case, and that is Hancock County. Neighboring Pickett County had picked up one, I guess that was last week, if I'm remembering correctly, and they continue to be at one. And, you know, you go on the state website and you see all these different color codes, but most of the codes are white, which is good. You know, that's the lowest category, and we've got two in a dark blue, and no surprise there, the two most populous counties. Davidson with 3,623, and Shelby County not far behind, and some others with various shades of blue, but most of the state, as you look at it, is white, which is a good thing. Of course, we wish we didn't have any, but we have to take away some positives from this, and we can.
And, you know, as we begin the gradual reopening of the state and local, you know, that once again, no one should expect to walk in and be like it was when they left.
Absolutely. So that's not, not.
And also, I think the statisticians, all of the experts, everyone is kind of weighing in on these states to look and see what happens in the next round of statistics when they come out, if there's an influx of anything.
And as we've said all along, you can find, and I'll won't do air quotes because nobody can see me, you can find an expert with any opinion in the world. It's very difficult to sort through it all, and you can just get bombarded with all the news, and there is certainly no consensus on whether or not we need to stay in our homes or for things to reopen, as we're seeing in stages here in Tennessee and some other states. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. The numbers will change. There's no doubt of that, and they expect that.
You know, and the thing that really caught my attention, I'm sure it was on the national level, international level, was the case there in South Korea, where one man overnight, by going through three nightclubs, had infected, what, hundreds of people, wasn't it?
Just, well, and that's exponential.
Right, and then each one of those.
Absolutely.
Just coming from one person being careless, and lo and behold, look what you've got. So, you know, it's a time to be careful.
It is, and as we reopen, and I don't know of anything really now in our county, there's some businesses that I don't think we've got any in Clay County. Pretty much everything is open now, one way or the other. But if you feel the need to wear a mask, please do that. It's not just for you. It's for other people. Remember to stay at least 6 feet. If you can make it 10, that just helps that much more, apart from other customers in stores or in checkout lines. You know, all of our stores have very well marked off these barriers on their floors. You know, you don't have
right.
to guess about it. And if you can keep two spaces rather than one between you, so much the better.
And we both can testify, you cannot go into Beat Beast Barbershop and gossip right now.
It's one at a time. And I was fortunate enough to be able to visit David on his first day back open last week.
I gave him till the second day. And folks are waiting outside in their cars.
Absolutely.
And it's, you know, it's a different world. And with that, I guess it's about time we wrapped up for today, Kevin. We were just getting cranked up real good. And I guess I better give away a cake here to the winner of the cake today, Brenda Moore. So, Brenda.
Congratulations.
And come over by, pick up your gift card over at the chamber. And I guess if you come over next week, you can. Does she still need to make a?
We're pretty much fully functional.
Well, right.
we're going to have the lights on, the door open, and Lord willing, our help back, and we've got plenty of gift certificates, and we'll fix everybody up.
All right, so we're ready to go. And with that, I guess it's about time that we got all the doors shut, and I guess make all the livestock back here in the barn. So it's time to. May the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again, and hopefully next week here on the same time, WVFB FM 101.5 Kick Country. And with that, I guess we'll just say good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kix Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.